May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness and pressed with sorrows and with sins? On her beloved Lord she leans. Hymn number 92.
Let us read from God's holy word, from Psalms 90 and 91. Psalms 90 and 91. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest men to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We have spent our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that fleeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and teach us how to pray. Dear Lord, do help us then to bow before thy majesty, for thou art the sovereign ruler of the skies, and art ever gracious and ever wise. Oh, we would humbly fall at thy dear feet at this evening hour, and seek for thy divine help and divine aid, that we may worship thee. We pray for the sacred influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we may truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. Oh, do come near, Lord, and shut the world out, and keep Satan from the doors of the sanctuary, from the doors of our hearts. And oh, that we may be shut in with thee, and favoured to know and to feel thy sweet and sacred presence. Lord, though we worship in this way this evening, we do pray thou wilt come over all the many difficulties in the journey, and that thou wilt bless each of our souls. For thou hast promised that in blessing, I will bless thee. Now may it please thee, Lord, to grant a blessing indeed even this night. And oh, that many may be born again. Oh, do quicken souls, we pray, and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. And oh, may there be a stirring up of any that may be in an unexercised state, unconcerned. May many be stirred up to real fervent prayer and to seek most earnestly thy face. Oh, deliver us from a sleepy condition which we are prone to, left to ourselves to enter into. We pray that thou wilt blot out our many, many sins. Oh, we would come in humble confession to thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy. We pray for that true broken heart and contrite spirit, a heart that trembleth at thy word. Oh, how we need thee, dear Lord, to speak to our souls pardon and peace, and that thou wilt wash us in that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. We would come with the dear hymn writer when he said, "Foul I to the fountain flow. Wash me, Saviour, or I die." Knowest, Lord, that's our continual cry. Knowest how fresh contracted guilt plagues our hearts. Do come and seal pardon to each sin-sick soul this night, and sweetly assure them that thou didst come and suffer, bleed, and die for them. Oh, that thou wouldst come, Lord, to any that have got some special need this evening, and oh, do supply that need. Lift up any that are cast down. Lord, there are many things in this dark day to cast us down. But oh, we pray that thou wilt lift thy people up. May there be many raised out of the depths of sorrow and trouble and distress and liberated in their souls. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to dry up the tears of sorrow in the hearts of thy people and turn them into tears of joy. Remember thy tried people. Thou knowest, Lord, how many are tried and tempted. Oh, do cast Satan out and appear for thy tried people. And may they be delivered from all the onslaughts of Satan and set at liberty. And oh, may they have a little view by faith that thou wast tried and tempted to, or to succour every tempted, burdened son. Lord, the power is thine. Do come to those who've got impossible things. May faith be strengthened to believe, Lord, that those things that are impossible with me are possible with thee. And, O Lord, may it please thee to visit those that long for a visit from thyself. And, oh, that there may be those frequent visits. And we would pray with the hymn writer, more frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. I can do nothing without thee. Make haste, O God, make haste. Remember those that are helpless. Lord, may they look to thee, who art the helper of the helpless. And may they prove that when most they need thy help in him, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. To soften any hard hearts, Lord, may we know a little what Job was enabled to say, for God maketh my heart soft. May we know more and more of it, and may we ever be humbled in the dust. Do take away all our pride and self-righteousness, Lord, that there will be in many and in our own hearts. We pray that we may be ever tender and humble at thy dear feet. Oh, do grant us more and more grace, that we may continue, that we may endure to the end, that we may hold on our way. Do bless the dear children, dear Lord. Remember them with the favour thou bearest to thy people. And, oh, do help the dear parents, especially in the teaching of them at home. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt sanctify all these things, that there may be brought forth from that which is so bitter, it may be made sweet by thee. Remember those that carry offspring. We pray that thou wilt be with them and grant them, Lord, that needed help all the time and safe deliverance at the appointed time. And may the dear babes be born with all their faculties and above everything, Lord, be vessels of mercy. Hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring, and oh, do raise up, we pray, a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee, the Redeemer blessing. Do remember our dear afflicted friends. We think of dear Lydia, Lord, and we pray for her, that thou wilt be her strength, her portion, her own. May she be favoured to feel those everlasting arms of the dear Redeemer under, who help Benji, Lord, and the dear family in all their burden and concern. And may they each be enabled to be still and to know that thou art done. And others, Lord, in affliction's pathway, we think of thy dear servant, Mr. Parish, Lord. We thank thee for bringing him through the operation yesterday, and we pray that it may prove to be a success, and that he may be upheld and strengthened and spared, if it's thy will, to declare the whole counsel of God. And I do especially remember his dear wife and the family and all the great burden and weight and concern upon them. And may they be upheld by thee. And others, Lord, in many afflictions. We think of so many throughout Zion, For truly, Lord, Zion is afflicted with wave upon wave. And oh, how we need thy appearing, who prepare us each for a vast eternity. Oh, that it may be well with us while life endures, and well when called to die. Who bless the cause that that's wave, see, Lord, we pray for thee to work mightily among them. And may there be others constrained to follow thee. There may be those enabled to say, come and hear all ye that fear God. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Oh, do remove all that hinders, we beseech thee. And may thy dear children be made willing in the day of thy power. Lord, we pray for the deacons that thou would especially help them in the choice of the hymns, that there may be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew, and thy precious name glorified. Who bless all thy servants and grant them gracious help and liberty in the preaching of the word. And any that need thee this night, Lord, of thy dear people, do come and visit them with thy salvation. Who remember, Lord, all that are persecuted and oppressed and in trouble. Oh, do come and appear, we pray, and undertake and deliver. And oh, do remember, Lord, us in the nation, thou knowest the solemn state we're in. Thou knowest the plagues upon the land, Lord, and many that have been taken from this earth. We pray that thou wilt speak through it to men, that there may be those to think and tremble, for death is now upon the road. Lord, may our Prime Minister and those in government have their eyes open to acknowledge that it is thy judgment upon the land. And may they be brought to seek thy face and to do thy will. Grant them that wisdom, Lord, to do what is right in thy sight, and not just right in their own sight or in the sight of man. Remember, Lord, Prince Philip in the hospital, we pray that thou wilt sanctify this affliction too. And to our Queen we pray, do bless her and bless him with those blessings that are eternal, and each of the royal household, if it be thy holy will. And may there be a real turning to the Lord from our Queen downwards. Lord, the powers, who hear us now in these poor breathings, remember any we may leave out or forget, may they not be forgotten of thee. And, O Lord, do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this evening. And may the word go forth with power. And though it be sown in weakness, may it be raised in power. We beg of thee, and help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies. We would not let them lonely, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises done. Who help us now, whether we speak or hear, to fall into thy kind arms, and I do apply thy word with power. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we sow, so we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
hymn number 673, 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 91 and the 15th verse. Psalm 91 and verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. Psalm 91 and verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. We are not told, beloved friends, who the author of this psalm was, whether it be Moses or David. It matters not really, but the vital thing is, do we know the sweet experience of the dear psalmist? Because he was walking in some difficult things at this time. There were the snares from the fowler. There was the noisome pestilence. There was many things to make him afraid and troubled. But there's one thing that seemed to so stand out to me, and that was the Lord's great love and mercy toward the dear psalmist. He says in the verses previous to our text, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And then he speaks this, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You can see the wonderful love and protection that surrounded the dear psalmist. And he says this, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Oh, how the Lord watches over his dear people in all their pathways. We read in another psalm, don't we? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I remember my late uncle, he was travelling to the service at St. David's Bridge, Cranbrook, one Lord's Day evening, and a man in another car came out of a side road straight into him, and it drove my uncle's car right in between some trees. And he said when he came to rest there, it came so sweetly to him, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And he said, I could see in it all the angel of the Lord encamping round about me, though this had come that prevented him going to the house of God. And yet the Lord wonderfully preserved his life and those that were with him in the car. But is this 15th verse that seemed to so rest upon me during this day, and I trust it's the message of heaven to some poor needy soul this evening. We read in the verse previous, and it's a beautiful word really, because he has set his love upon me. And you see, the dear psalmist knew what it was to love the Lord because he had set his love upon him. And you think, as we begin this evening, the love of the Lord to poor needy sinners. He sent his beloved Son into this world to suffer, to bleed, and to die for them. He loved them from all eternity to all eternity. And we think of that beautiful word, we spoke a little of it on Lord's Day, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And because the Lord had set his love upon the dear psalmist, this is why he was to know the realities of what's in our text. He shall call upon me. Because he loves his dear children, he brings them to call upon him continually. Whether it be in the daytime, in the nighttime, in the depths of trouble, in the times when things are quieter and the way is smoother, he bids his dear children to call upon him. He shall call upon me. And you look in the Word of God of those precious characters that are recorded that called upon the name of the Lord. You think of Saul of Tarsus, who had been an enemy of the Saviour, and yet the Lord had loved him with an everlasting love. And the Lord brought him on that Damascus road to call upon the Lord. He shall call upon me, the Lord says. He shall call upon me. And there may be those of you this evening that in things that you know not what to do, call upon the Lord in the matter, poor soul. Seek his will. Ask him for divine guidance and direction. Call upon me. He bids his dear children to do this. And you think of the Apostle Paul, so as he was then, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It was no longer like he was in those hours previous, persecuting the Church of God, and casting men and women into prison because they feared the Lord. He falls right under the power of heaven. He shall call upon me. There was no doubt about it. And there may be those that today are enemies of the Lord and rebelling against him, and no desire for the house of God or for the Word of God or the ways of God or to read the Holy Scriptures. But if they're amongst those he has loved with an everlasting love, the day will come when he or she will call upon the Lord. Oh, yes. You think of the dying thief in that last moments, as it were, of his life. The Lord brought him to call upon the dear Lord Jesus. Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And you look how wonderfully the Lord fulfilled what's in our text. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And you look how wonderfully the Lord answered that dear dying thief. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a blessed exchange from this vale of tears to be with the dear Redeemer forever in glory. He shall call upon me. There's no doubt about this. The hour will come with every one that Christ came into this world to suffer, bleed and die for, where they shall call upon him. There's some blessed certainties in this verse. He shall call upon me, the Lord says, and I will answer. I will answer. Some of you may be cast down this evening and troubled that you call upon the Lord. You're like Jeremiah, really. He said, I cry and shout, and all my prayer he seemeth to shut out. And there are times with the child of God, and they call upon him and get no answer. Poor soul, give him no rest until he gives you the answer. And I know the way may seem hard, it may seem difficult, but call upon him. He has promised here in this word, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. So there's this wonderful prospect. Those of you who may have called upon the Lord today, it may be in providential things, it may be in your soul, for your never dying soul, and it may be in the family, or it may be concerning the service this evening, or it may be concerning the future pathway you've got to walk. Whatever it may be, he shall call upon me, and I will answer. Look at the certainty here, the Lord speaking, you see. And he will bring his dear people into places where they have to call upon him. They can do no other. And you can look at several characters in the Word of God. They had to call upon the Lord. You think of the disciples when they were tossed around in the ship and they had to call upon the Lord for his appearing, for him to deliver them from those waves and the raging of the storm. And look how beautifully he answered them and stilled the waves and stilled their hearts. And there was not only peace in the sea, but calm, but too in their own poor hearts. They could truly say, couldn't they, what manner of man is this, for even the winds and the waves obey him. He shall call upon me. And oh, that word seemed to so ring in my heart today. And those of you that may be in great need today, you call upon him, poor soul. You may say, oh, well, I do, but we cry and shout. There's an appointed time when the Lord will answer. Oh, yes. Let us ever remember that. I will answer. He didn't say he'd answer immediately. There are times before they call, he says, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. But there are times where he tarries off till men are faint and comes at evening late. So, poor soul, call upon him. Give him no rest until he appears, till he gives you the answer. And when he gives you the answer, it'll be just what your soul needs. It may not be in a way that you need, but sometimes the Lord answers us in a way that we would least expect it. And he wonderfully answers it. Because those prayers, and let's be very clear about this, those prayers that he has indicted in your poor heart, he will answer. What do we sing in the hymn? True prayer indicted by the Lord will surely hear. And when he hears, poor soul, he will give the answer in his time and in his way. You think of dear Elijah on Mount Carmel. Where were all those prophets of Baal and professing that their God was the God of the universe and controlling things? And what a solemn issue there was there, wasn't there? You think of those, they called, they cried, they shouted, but their God gave no answer because he was a dead God. The God the psalmist worshipped here was the living God. And it was he that was speaking to him. He shall call upon me and I will answer. And you think how dear Elijah had to call upon the God of heaven to send that fire down from heaven. Let it be known, he says, this day that thou art God, and that I am thy servant. And the Lord, you know, sent down the fire, didn't he? He gave him the answer. And what a blessed answer it was, wasn't it? To prove who was the living God in Israel. And you think of the times with dear David when he had to call upon the Lord. You know, the Book of Psalms is a wonderful book, really. And you think of the times David had to call upon the Lord when he was in great need, and how many times you call upon him, and David did, because of your sin and because you are so perplexed and cast down because of those sins within you that plague you and trouble you. He said, he shall call upon me and I will answer. And poor soul, he will answer you by giving you sweet pardon and peace in your soul from all those sins that trouble you. Oh, you think of those precious characters while the Saviour was here upon the earth. The dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee, how she crept behind him. She knew what it was to call in her heart. She may not have said a word outwardly. She called upon him, and what did he give her? The pardon of all her sin. Oh, she was to sweetly experience it. And oh, so different than Simon the Pharisee, wasn't she? He didn't know what it was to call upon the God of heaven, do you and do I? Well, I'll leave that first part for your prayerful meditation. There's many ways we could look at it. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. It's personal, you say. It's personal calling upon the Lord. It is personal, the Lord sending the answer. Oh, yes. He answers their cries. He answers their groans. He answers their sighs in his time and in his way. But then we read this. I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. the child of God so often has to walk a path of trouble. Oh, they do. We're told in the Word, aren't we, that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And man that is born of a woman, we read in Job, is a few days and full of trouble. And really, you know, that is the path that the Saviour trod. You look at it, how a few days and he was full of trouble coming into this earth. You think how Herod sought to destroy him, take away his life. How many times the dear Saviour was troubled by the enemies, the arch enemy of our souls, Satan. Oh, he knew what it was to be tried and tempted to, as I said in prayer, or to succour every tempted burden, son. And there may be those of you this evening that your trouble is Satan is plaguing you and tempting you and attacking you. He's the arch enemy of the soul of a real child of God. He caused them some trouble. You look at the trouble that he caused Job. But oh, you look how wonderfully the Lord was to deliver him out of that trouble. Oh, yes. We have here, I will be with him in trouble. Let's look at a few characters in the Word of God that knew what it was to be in trouble and how they had to call upon the God of heaven. You go back to dear old Jacob when he was faced with Esau's 400 men against him. Oh, how the dear man knew what it was to call upon the God of heaven. And what a trouble it was to him, wasn't it? Oh, you think of the trouble that he was in. It may be you have opposition in one way or another. You see, the real child of God will know what it is to be in trouble. And their troubles are many. The troubles of their soul that no man sees. Inward troubles. We need to be very careful when we look at one and another and say, well, they haven't got the trouble that I'm in. But you don't know what trouble they're going through in their never-dying soul. Oh, no. Jacob, you see, knew what it was to be in trouble because of Esau's great army coming against him. But, you know, that wasn't all his trouble. A lot of the trouble was within his own soul. If we got a real religion, we should know what it is to be troubled by a sin. It doesn't trouble the world. It doesn't trouble the ungodly. But it troubles the real child of God. When you look at the two that went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican, sin didn't trouble the Pharisee, did it? Yet he got a load of natural religion, but he didn't trouble him, not his sin. But you look at the publican. It's wonderful what the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning him. He smote upon his breast. That's where the trouble was. It was inside. The Pharisee couldn't see it, nor could any man, but the Lord saw it. And he sees with you how troubled you are in your poor heart, whether you're troubled about your sin or troubled about your soul standing before the Lord, or troubled that you've only got a fleshly religion, or troubled that you don't get the answers to your prayers that you long for. What does the hymn writer say? Did ever trouble, the Lord speaking, yet befall, and he refuse to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou shalt overcome at last? I will be with him in trouble. And as we look at these characters, let us ever remember what the text says, I will be with him in trouble. The Lord speaking, that the child of God in their trouble won't be in it alone. Oh no. Oh, you think of the dear Lord Jesus in all the troubles he walked through, in the persecution he endured, the hard accusations fired against him, the troubles that he endured in his suffering for his dear people in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was real trouble, dear, beloved friends. But you know, we know he cried out at Calvary, didn't he? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when he was in the depths of trouble. Not because of anything he had done, but what his church, his bride had done. And he came to save them from their sins. And, oh, what a mercy it is when we read this, and it's a pain, that it's real trouble, that is, when you come to the path where, like David knew it when he cried out in Psalm 22, what the Saviour said at Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know what it is to feel forsaken? The hymn writer said, I feel forsaken and alone, and I hear the lion's roar, and every door is shut but one, that is mercy's door. Oh, he knew what it was to walk a lonely path of trouble, the dear Redeemer did. And then on Calvary, oh, you think of the trouble. You know, sometimes it's been a great help to me when I've been in trouble and the Lord has led me to view a little of the troubles that he endured. And you know, poor soul, our troubles are nothing compared to his. We may think they will sink us, but poor soul, you think of his trouble. But the comfort with the child of God is this, I will be with him in trouble. Oh, you think of the troubles you may be in tonight, the troubles of your sin, the troubles of your unbelief, the troubles of affliction, the troubles of circumstances. Oh, you go into Psalm 107, I nearly read it this evening to you. You think how many times they were in trouble. We read, don't we, in that psalm so many times of when they were brought right down. And you know, we need bringing down that we may be dependent upon the Lord. And this is often why he brings us into trouble, to make us lean upon him, like we sung in our opening hymn. And we read in Psalm 107, don't we? Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. And then you see the beautiful notes of praise that go forth. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And you think how many times through that psalm they were in trouble. Oh, yes, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, poor soul, I will be with him in trouble. Well, let's look at a few of the characters just briefly in the Word of God. We name Jacob, and you look how the Lord was with him in it. And those 400 men of Esau couldn't touch him. Oh, no. And what did the Lord do? He blessed him there. And he had to come into that trouble to know the blessings of the Lord. If one may just speak personally, that so much as we look back through the journey, we come into those troubles, whether they be inward or outward, and the Lord has wonderfully been with us in them. Let me prove it to you from the Word of God. You think of the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. What trouble that was, wasn't it? Because they would not bow their knee and worship those idols. And it brought them into a lot of trouble. And it brought them into the fiery furnace. But poor soul, that's what you call real trouble. But they weren't alone in it, were they? What did the king say when he went to the fiery furnace? Were there not three cast into the fiery furnace? Behold, there is four, one like unto the Son of Man. The dear Lord Jesus with them in that trouble. Oh, yes. And what a mercy that is when he's with us in it. And that'll make the bitter part of that trouble sweet, it will. Oh, it will. The hymn writer said, although my cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret sweetens all. And that poor soul is the Lord with you in that bitter cup. Oh, it is. And that will make it sweet, him being with you. You think of those in that fiery furnace. They came out without the smell of smoke even upon them. I will deliver them, he says in our text. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Not I perhaps will, or if he does this or that. No, I will deliver him. Why? That he may have all the glory, all the praise, all the honor due to his holy name. And then you can think of Daniel in the lion's den. There again, it was a time of trouble. And poor soul, you think of him tonight in that den. But he wasn't alone there, was he? The Lord was with him in it, shut in the lion's mouths that they could not hurt him. Think of what the king said to Daniel. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And what did Daniel say? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they cannot hurt me. He was safe there, poor soul. Nothing could touch him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Oh, may you sweetly experience this poor soul, and may we know more and more of it, those blessed deliverances. Think of Jacob, but then you think of dear Hezekiah. Oh, the trouble he was in because of the persecution of the land by the Assyrians, the trouble he was in his soul because he was in a dark place and not all his sin had not been forgiven. He was in trouble because affliction was upon him and the Lord said, thou shalt die and not live. But what did he do? He called upon the God of heaven and he turned and faced the silent wall away from everything of man. And what did he do? Think of that beautiful prayer. It's a sweet word, really. He says, oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. A suitable prayer, isn't it, to the child of God today? I remember going into the Dicker Chapel in the depths of trouble. We'd had a lot of trouble in the church when I was at Ashwell. And in many ways, I felt to be in the depths of trouble. And the doctors told me I should go away because my nerves were in such a terrible state. And I remember coming down to Sussex and my brother-in-law, he took me to the Dicker to hear the late Mr. Spurling Tyler, beloved pastor. And he preached, you know, from Psalm 50. And I thought about it so much when the text came. These were the words. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And he spoke particularly of Hezekiah. And you know, the dear man, he said, think of his prayer, which I just quoted just now. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And he leaned over the pulpit and he said, friends, what did it mean? He said, it meant the pressure was on. Undertake for me. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And you know, the Lord so blessed me under that sermon. I felt the Lord would deliver me from it all. When he did, he brought me out into a wealthy place. I should never forget it, you know, what a hearing time it was. He walked up and down in my heart, the dear servant of God did, and in the pathway I was walking in. And may this word be the same to you, poor soul, tonight. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Look at the certainties there are in this text. I will deliver him. And you look how he delivered Hezekiah. He sent the prophet back, didn't he? I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. Oh, poor soul. He knew the power of what it was for the Lord to be with him and to deliver him. They're some wonderful characters, aren't they? And may we have a little of the religion the Lord gave to them. And then you can think of dear Mary Magdalene at the day of the resurrection. Oh, what a trouble she was in. Her dear Saviour had been taken from her, crucified, laid in the tomb. And she came to anoint his precious body with the ointments and spices that they had prepared. But you know, he was not in that grave. He'd risen. And there she was weeping. They have taken away my Lord. I often think of that word, you know, and I know not where they have laid him. And all the grief there was in her trouble. But you know, the Lord was to deliver her, wasn't he? He was with her in it. And he was to deliver her. And he didn't say many words to deliver her, did he? He came. She supposed him to start with her. He was to be the gardener. He was holding, her eyes were holding. She should not know him like the two that journeyed to Emmaus. But you think, poor soul, he didn't speak a volume of words, did he? Just one word, Mary. Mary. And oh, immediately she knew him. Rabboni, Master. She wanted to embrace him. And that's what faith will do in your poor heart. When he delivers you, you'll want to hug him, and I put that reverently and rightly, and embrace him as your Saviour, your Redeemer. I will deliver him. And the Lord delivered her, didn't he? And oh, he speaks to her, and touch me not. For I'm not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. But then she was commanded to go and to tell the disciples that he had risen. Then he would go before them into Galilee. There shall you see me. Well, I see the time's virtually gone. I must leave it. I will deliver him and honour him. He'll honour you, poor soul, like he did Mary. What an honour it was to have the Lord a life of life and glory as her Saviour, her Redeemer. He will honour you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, a precious Christ, the one thing needful. What an honour. There's no greater honour on this earth, poor soul, than to have a precious Jesus as ours. Our Saviour, our Redeemer, my Jesus, my Redeemer. And you say, when the Lord grants this, you could lay down and die, couldn't you? Well, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. This is what the Lord has said. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. Just before I leave it, think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. The hymn writer said, when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh, how good. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day at 10:30 and 6:30, and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May it not be left all on the chapel doorstep, but may there be a little of the abiding in our hearts. Do watch over and keep us each. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus and the love of God, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.